Here's something you don't hear on those viral videos in cases of alleged police misconduct. A voice responding to threats and accusations with calm. Are you going to shoot me, taunts an angry citizen? Listen.
What we need to do is communicate. What we need to do is talk. So let's get to the source of the problem. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out what's going on.
That's Neil Griffin, a veteran police officer from San Diego who reached out and wanted to show off his ability to mediate, show off his ability to calm things down, not ramp things up. He was anxious to join our conversation, motivated by communities trying to imagine their streets without any police. That's a conversation well underway in our Takeaway community. Brad from San Francisco wrote on thetakeaway.org, "I lived through the San Francisco police strike of 1975. The number of crimes committed by citizens decreased. The number of crimes committed by police increased." Here's Steve in Arkansas. "You try that and let me know how it works out. I find it hilarious. And if that community thinks police aren't working out, yeah, go ahead. Stop that burglar yourself." Or Scott in New Jersey. "Obviously, a police force is necessary, but a police force comprised of ethical, law-abiding, honest, and prudent people, something sorely lacking." Neil Griffin would consider himself one of those law-abiding, honest, and prudent people. He's a police lieutenant in Southern California, has been in law enforcement for 26 years. He says he welcomes communities radically rethinking the role of police, but police, he says, need to be at the table. He told us that it's essential that he be heard, and that the voices of the vast majority of police, he says, who want to calm things down, be heard as well.
A lot of police officers are concerned with what is being projected to the public. But I think the issue is that it's being presented as business as usual in law enforcement. And it's just not the case. We contact somewhere between 40 and 60 million citizens a year, the police-citizen interactions. And very few of them involve force. The overwhelming majority of people who are contacted by the police, even under negative circumstances, come away thinking that the officers acted appropriately.
A lot of people were saying that this discussion of what do we need police for, could we get along without them, is there a way for us to responsibly police ourselves in our communities, led to a discussion and realization which surprised me, but not too much, that police are, in our time, called out on incidents that they really have no expertise to deal with and shouldn't be called for. Mental health issues, a lot of the substance abuse issues should maybe be more in the social worker realm as opposed to the kinds of things that officers are called to try to mediate. Are you sympathetic to that? Do you think that's the case?
Well, I absolutely agree that police officers wind up as the first responders and getting called to situations where they're going to need other resources. That's kind of a tenet of law enforcement, is cops never get to say, "I can't help you." Because the fact of the matter is, the police officer in this model of policing that we have is the first responder. And they're the person that are going to, you know, establish a certain level of peace if it's a situation of some sort of confrontation. The expectation is that they're going to call on those sorts of resources, the social workers, the domestic violence counselors. Those are the people we immediately call. But somebody has to go first, John. Somebody has to walk the point, and somebody has to be that first responder. And when I think about things like ongoing domestic violence, when a woman picks up the phone and dials 911 because she needs a police officer right now or she needs emergency assistance, or when I think about the identification of pedophiles in a community, I'm just not sure how you can come up with a self-policing model for those sorts of situations. So yes, the police get called to a lot of situations where they need outside help, but the fact is somebody has to be there first, and that's usually us.
Now, you said somebody has to walk the point, and that's, you know, that's a military term.
It is.
And I'm wondering if sometimes that way of thinking gets in the way of community peace, and if it would help to have different kinds of first responders backing you up, who maybe would even be first in particularly a mental health situation.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the model that's used in quite a few places out here in California, is that we have a police officer who goes in service every day with a mental health professional. And they handle calls that are strictly about mental health issues. And they might be emergency calls for service from families, or they might be people that are just in need of some sort of mental health services. But we have a mental health professional. This is a model that was started in Los Angeles. It's called the Psychiatric Emergency Response Team. And it's spread quite a bit out here in California. It's a great model.
I want to question you about the idea that people view as typical the videos that are being seen in some of these racialized incidents. One of the things that's come out in the discussion of what the hell are we going to do about all this is this notion that people have to understand that for reasons that relate to American history, African Americans look at police in a different way than, say, I would look at police. And I'm just wondering if police need to think about that broad history that they may not be individually responsible for, but that they're coming into a community where the image that they might have of themselves or that I would have is very, very different, and that we need to recognize our history a little bit better to be better first responders, all of us. Does that make any sense?
I agree. No, it absolutely makes sense, and I agree with you. And over the years, I've taught at different police academies, and one of the things I always like to get those young police officers to think about is what it felt like when the police came through their neighborhoods. And, you know, most police that we end up recruiting will talk about the positive interactions. But more and more, as we recruit a more and more diverse population, there are people who grew up in neighborhoods where they're very articulate about the fact that the police weren't seen in a positive light. And that's just the reality, as you said. That's the history. That's the hand we've been dealt. And we have to acknowledge that. And again, removing the anonymous nature of law enforcement, just the patrol car going by with the windows up and not stopping. Community policing is all about trying to bridge that gap. But yeah, the police are doing their best to deal with it, but we recognize it. And I think nothing is more, I don't know what the word I would want to use, but it's very hurtful when you know someone is afraid of the police. And candidly, I think the abolishment of the police, I don't think that's a realistic option. But what is a realistic option? You want to have the meeting, you want to pose the question, you want to question the assumption. I think that's great. The police need to be involved in that conversation, the police that are involved in that community. That gap that exists now between communities and the police, that's what we have to work on.
Neil Griffin, a police lieutenant in Southern California, the 26-year veteran, just wants to be at the table.